Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener today with the Living Savior Ministers. We're continuing to talk about these strongholds and about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior this week. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, we worship you and praise you and thank you that Jesus is our Lord. He's our God, our Savior, our healer, our provider, our everything. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our comforter that walks along with us and within us. I praise you and thank you for the privilege, Lord, to have the Word of God to walk with and to read and to study and to learn who you are and who we are and what we can do and who the enemy is. And I praise you and thank you for this Word. Now reveal it to us as we study it again today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to tell you that Satan's arsenal consists of such things as fear, worry, doubt, self-pity. Every one of these weapons robs us of peace and leaves us troubled inside. Do you want to discern where the enemy is coming against you? In the network of your relationships, wherever you do not have peace, you have war. Conversely, wherever you have victory, you have peace. Now, when Satan hurls his fiery darts against you, the more peace you have during adversity, the more truly you are walking in Christ's likeness or in Christ's victory. Paul tells us to be in no way alarmed by your opponent, which is a sign of destruction for them, for of salvation for you. Now your peace, your immovable stand upon the Word of God, is a sign that you are positioned correctly in perfect submission to the will of God. The very fact that you are in no way alarmed by your adversary is a sign that you have authority over him. Now, that's what I did right there by knowing these things right there. I realize that peace is spirit power. And when I walked into that hospital, almost a year and a half ago now, whenever they told me my granddaughter and Kelly was probably going to die, and they just assured me my granddaughter was going to die, I knew the victory I had over what the enemy had done to my wife and my daughter and tried to do to my grandbaby and Kelly. But I realized that peace is spirit power, and I walked in total peace and total love and got to see our Lord do the greatest miracles I've ever seen him do as he raised up those little girls off of their deathbed and healed both of them completely. Now, a peacemaker is not merely someone who protests against war. He is one who is inwardly so yielded to be like Christ in the spirit and purpose that he can be called a son of God. Where he goes, God goes, and where God goes, he goes. He is fearless, he's calm, and he is bold. Now, peace will emanate from him or from you the way light and heat radiate from the fire. In the battles of life, your peace is actually a weapon. Indeed, your confidence declares that you are not falling for the lies of the devil. You see, the first step toward having spiritual authority over the adversary is having peace in spite of our circumstances. When Jesus confronted the devil, he did not confront Satan with his emotions or in fear. Knowing that the devil was a liar, he simply refused to be influenced by any other voice than God's. His peace overwhelmed Satan. His authority then shattered the lie, which sent those demons fleeing everywhere. Now then, in the Word of God, the Lord has made us some awesome promises. When you stop and think about these promises, I want you to think about this promise that the Lord made us in one of the Psalms that we have heard and read so many times. The 23rd Psalm, David declares, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me." Now, there is a place of walking with God where you simply fear no evil. Just think. David said in the scriptures that he faced a lion and a bear as a giant. In this psalm, he stood in the shadow of death itself, yet he feared no evil. David's trust was in the Lord. Yours needs to be in the Lord. David said, "For thou art with me." Because God is with you, every adversity you face will unfold in victory as you maintain your faith in God. But you must maintain your faith in God. David continued, "Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." The battle you are in will soon become a meal to you, an experience that will nourish and build you up spiritually. Only God's peace will quell your fleshly reactions in battle. The source of God's peace is God Himself. Now, indeed, before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. Now, that's written in Revelation 4. The glass sea is a symbol. There are no ripples, no waves, no anxieties. Nothing is troubling God. The Lord is never worried, never in a hurry, nor without an answer. The sea around Him is perfectly still and totally calm. All our victories flow out from being seated here with Christ. God is our Father. The heavenly Jerusalem is our mother, the birthplace of our new nature. And you are a beloved child of God, part of the Father's family and a member of His household. You must know by revelation that you are not struggling to get up into heaven. Rather, you were born there in spiritual rebirth. You must be settled and positioned correctly in your relationship with the Almighty. To those who have been born again from above, He says, "Sit at my right hand while I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." That's written in Psalms 110, verse 1. Before you go into warfare, recognize that it is not you that the devil is afraid of. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're no match for the devil on your own. You couldn't even begin to stand in his presence. But he is definitely afraid of your big brother, which is Christ that is in you. Now, you and I have been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places, because he said that for us in Ephesians 2:6. This is why the Holy Spirit continues to speak to us that worship of God is our first response in battle. Position yourself in the presence of God. Set at rest in the knowledge that Christ has already made your enemies the footstool for your feet. From the position of rest, the word of the Lord continues. The Lord will stretch forth the strong scepter from Zion, saying, "Rule in the midst of your enemies." Now that's Psalms 110, verse 2. Rest precedes rule. Peace precedes power. Do not seek to rule over the devil until you are submitting to God's rule over you. The focal point of all victory comes from seeking God until you find Him. And having found Him, allowing His presence to fill your spirit with His mighty peace. Now, from full assurance at His right hand, as we rest in His victory, let us rule in the midst of our enemies. Now, I'm going to tell you, you must learn these things, and you must learn your spiritual authority if you want to rule in the midst of your enemy. Now, there's battlegrounds all over the place that we're going to have to fight and war. I'm going to tell you the battleground, the church, is absolutely in a battleground. It is one of the battlegrounds, and the devil, we must learn to war against the illusions and strife, the fears and jealousies that are sent from hell itself to divide us in the church. If Jesus is eternally praying for our oneness, just like he said in John 17:20, then we must recognize that Satan is continuously fighting against the church. The devil knows that when we become one with Christ and through him, one with each other, it is only a matter of time before this Jesus-built church will destroy the empires of hell itself. Now, that's such a strange thing that we'll get men in the church that will be given one or many of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and they'll start walking in them, instead of the rest of the church yielding to them and listening to them and learning how to do it themselves. It's so much of the times they will drive that person from the church. It just never ceases to amaze me how we do it, how we fight against each other. I don't understand how we can allow the enemy to get such a stronghold in us and cause these kind of problems. But he has. But I will have to say that as I began to walk in the gifts of the Spirit as a Southern Baptist years ago, I absolutely was come against in many ways. And I had many people in my own church that had known me for years that came against me and said, you should not be allowed to teach in a Baptist church. Now here's a man that I'm doing everything I can to walk in Christ's likeness. I'm speaking his word and God is doing miracles. He's healing the sick. He's answering my prayers. He's doing great and mighty things, such mighty things, you can hardly comprehend it when the tangible miracles the Lord is doing when I pray for people. And there's those in the church that says they didn't think I ought to be allowed to teach in a Baptist church. For goodness sakes, what is wrong with us? We should have all sought what I had so we could all begin to walk in what God had given me. I am so grateful to the King for giving me these mighty gifts. But now then, it's not so bad. After the church saw my granddaughter and the other girls and children raised up a little over a year ago with the greatest miracle, they all knew that God showed up when I prayed for those girls. So it's pretty good now. Praise the Lord Jesus. Call me if you'd like any of these audio and video tapes on these teachings at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Also, I'd like to invite you to our church at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m. every Sunday afternoon. If you're sick and afflicted and you need a healing, you need to contact us and come to one of our healing schools. We see many people healed. Go to our website, www.tlsm.org, and you can find where the location of these healing schools are, and you can receive your healing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name.